Welcome, everyone. This is Rosalind Sadeka, and I'm delighted you've joined us for another interview as part of our series for International Child Center Divorce Month. I have a wonderful guest with me today who has an outstanding background and a sincere care about this topic. She is a life transition coach, and her name is Liz Becker. Let me tell you a bit about her before I introduce her to you. Liz has worked with a broad range of clients, adults as well as children, and has a very personalized approach to the coaching she does. And she works especially with families that are dealing with divorce because she has an experience in her own life with divorce and being a parent, raising her own child, and understands the challenges that people face in this regard. She has expertise with a master's degree in, as a master neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, as well as a certified life coach. And so she's able to help her clients achieve positive change and balance in their lives. And when we're facing divorce issues, balance and flexibility and the ability to approach change and challenges are really so important. So Liz's expertise and skills really come to the forefront, and she works in person with clients as well as on the phone. So her scope is broad. So let me welcome right now Liz Becker. Hi, Liz.
Thank you, Rosalind. Hi, Rosalind.
I'm so
what a wonderful introduction.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm so glad you're with us today, and I'm very impressed with having spoken to you personally, with your sincere compassion and drive that you have for families who are facing divorce challenges. I know you had many challenges in your own divorce situation. And so you are able to integrate your professional work as well with your personal awareness and understanding of what it's like to be a single parent, to move through divorce, and to make sure that every decision you make is child-focused and child-centered. And that, of course, is the reason why International Child Center Divorce Month came to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
Absolutely.
Let me ask you some questions. You could ask me some as well, and we thought we'd let this be a very casual interaction between the two of us so that our listeners get the most information about divorcing, parenting, collaborating, co-parenting, and facing some of the issues that come with being a parent who's been divorced and having children of divorce. Let me start
Absolutely.
By asking you, what do you feel is one of the biggest challenges of divorce as a parent?
Well, Rosalind, before I answer your question, I just want to say that I think you're fabulous. I think that the work that you've done is phenomenal, really.
Okay.
I think that, you know, it's got to be kudos to you. You're definitely an inspiration to all of us that are involved in this industry, and that to take the action that you have to educate people is phenomenal, especially when you're taking it on an international level. So really, hats off to you, Rosalind, and it's really an honor to be here and talking to you.
Well, thank you so much.
You're
that
welcome.
I really
you're welcome.
Appreciate that.
We all have the same ultimate goals, which is really nice, and it really connects us in a very special way. So. Now, having said that, I'll go ahead and answer your question now. Now, obviously, there's several challenges in divorce. There's not one specific challenge, and there's so many parts involved, both emotionally, financially, spiritually, physically. But the thing that I find with most of my clients and personally as well, I think the biggest challenge is the loss of control of your child when they're not with you. When you're in a married home and you have your children, the communication is there. It's at your fingertips, to say the least. You know pretty much what's going on and how it's going on. So the minute you get divorced and your child has two different homes, releasing that control has to be the biggest challenge. And that usually is the biggest problem, is the causes the problem in the way that we communicate with our ex-spouse and with our children. So I do think that that is one of the main issues of understanding that you have lost the control, and there's really no way to gain the control of your child when they're at a different location than you are. So I really think that's one of the biggest issues.
So do you, since you just said that there's no way of gaining control, so what do you suggest to your clients? Is it a matter of learning how to be flexible and cooperate and compromise, or how do you handle this issue? Because I think that that's a very real scenario, and it's a gut-wrenching situation for many people, especially
Correct.
Depending on the level of trust you have for your former spouse.
Sure.
So what is your best advice then for a parent coping with this lack and loss of control and the
sure.
fears and anxieties that come with it?
Sure, sure. Well, first let me preface that the coaching that I do is based on NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And pretty much what NLP is, it's a behavioral science that states a connection between the way that we think, our neurological process, you know, linguistically, the way that we communicate verbally, non-verbally, and also the different behavioral patterns that we learn through experience. Now, having said that, once you know these connections, once you're able to understand more about them, then you're able to use different methodologies to change or model or influence the way you think, your thought process, the way you handle situations. So that's just a basis so that you'll understand the process that I follow, and that's basically the basis to my answers. So back to the loss of control. Really, in life, when you're, you know, there's a very smart man named Viktor E. Frankl who said, when you are no longer able to change a situation, you are challenged to change yourself. And that really is the truth about divorce. So when I mean that you're not able to gain control, I don't mean that you can't gain control in your own territory and what is near you. You cannot gain the control over the way that your child, what is going on with your child at the other spouse's home. So what I do is I have the parent focus more on what they're doing with their time and how they're communicating with their child at their own home. That's where you have the control, and that's what you need to really work on. And having said that, the beauty of this is that once you work on your own communication and the way that you perceive the situation and the way that you want your child to act or you want your child to react, you're able to teach your child different techniques to handle situations when you're not there, which is actually a huge, huge learning process for life. I mean, there's going to be many situations when your child is going to grow up and you're not going to be there to hold their hands, and it may not be at your ex-spouse's house, but in any place, whether it be workplace or life or in his own relationship, that they're going to need to handle situations in a certain way. So really, as a parent, that is our main priority, is modeling our behavior for our children to follow in the right steps.
That is so phenomenal. It is such an important point, because most people don't understand the fact that we can't change and control other people in our lives, and we spend our lives trying to do that, manipulate, and get frustrated by the fact that we can't control it. So instead, by putting the focus of our attention and our power and our energy into what we can control, which is how we handle things in our own sphere, then we're being much more effective. And I love the fact that you're talking about being a role model for children. I emphasize that so often in interviews, and parents forget that when they get caught up in their own emotional drama, they stop being adults, they revert back to being immature children themselves, and they don't realize what a poor role model they are being for their children when they act revengeful and coming from fear and coming from anxiety and hurt and blame and guilt, and their decisions they make are not the wisest. So you're helping parents reframe, make wise decisions that are coming from a place of power and being the role models they should be. This is a key such a valuable key piece of information. Can you share some of the techniques that we can teach our children then to help them handle situations so that they stay in a place of power? Because that's one of the greatest gifts we can give our children in life, is it not?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the main things that I do teach my clients as the parents to teach their child when there's any situation that they feel uncomfortable with at the other spouse's home is, first of all, that they need to understand that if they are being put into a situation that they don't like or that they're not comfortable with, they have every right to remove themselves from the situation. And I mean mentally. We all have control of what information gets to us. It's not a matter that we must and we're forced to listen to something, because we really have the control whether our thought processes it or not. Someone can be talking to us, and there's many times where our children will be talking to them and they're not listening to a word we say, even though we're talking to them. Mm-hmm. So by giving the child the control themselves to be able to control that information that is given to them and process it a certain way, is a very, very valuable tool. To know that they are not, it really only takes one parent out of divorce to help a child think logically. You know, there's a lot of issues that are out there that, you know, I don't think we're going to get into detail right now. You know, there's PAS, you know, parental alienation syndrome. There's a lot of issues where you can have one parent that really, really is dealing with the divorce in a very negative and poor way. I'm not going to say the beauty of it, but the good part of this situation is that it only takes one parent to really have a good influence and, as we mentioned before, be the proper role model for the child. Now, having said that, of what you can do for a child, it all stems with you first. So before you even get to the point of dealing with the child, the parent really has to focus on themselves, like you said. And you did make a very good point about, you know, the way that we act and how we're a role model affects everything. And there's so many issues that you're dealing with your pride, your ego, your financial situation, and all of those things that really cause us to act and react a certain way. And the first thing that I make my clients realize is that our behaviors is the biggest catalyst to your child's reaction to the divorce, period. No doubt about it. It's on every level in life, even when you're a married couple. If you're in a good mood and you're a great mood and you wake up in the morning, you're going to notice that your children are, you know, following that behavior and that are in a good mood. And this goes very, very, very strongly with divorce. So obviously, if your child is going to be seeing that you're devastated and seeing that you're crying and that you're upset and that you're confused and that you're angry and that you're yelling and screaming, obviously they're going to take the divorce as an extremely negative thing in their life. If you're able to set that aside and you're able to really focus on your behavior first and foremost, to initialize it just as you have done with your book in how to, you know, tell a child about the divorce and really focus on that positivity, which I'm such an advocate for and which is a big part of NLP as well, you're starting the process, because it's going to be a bunch of trials and tribulations. It's going to be a bunch of challenges, but you're starting it off on a good note. You're starting it off on a positive note. And then it's sort of like it's a trickle-down factor. And then dealing, once you know and once your mind knows how to deal with this challenge in a positive manner, you've just set up a pattern for yourself, which will tend to follow in a positive manner. Not to say that everything's going to be sunny and roses and that you're going to be fabulous and everything's going to work out great, but it is the precedence to the way that you're going to react to most situations and the way that your child's going to react to them.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I've answered.
Yes, I totally agree. You're making some very important points, because I think if parents realized from the beginning that how they are affected by the divorce and the attitude they take to it will color and influence the way the children perceive it all is such a key factor. It doesn't happen that the children perceive it differently. They really are influenced by how the parents are reacting. So you're setting the tone, and if you have an attitude that says this is another chapter in our family's life, and we are going to continue moving on, and there'll be new chapters ahead, and this is just another life experience for us, it's an entirely different thing than saying this is the most disastrous thing that has ever happened. We are in such trouble. This is a mess. I don't know if I could possibly cope or move on. I'm frightened, and this is going to be a disaster for us. How else would the children react than filled with fear and anxiety and guilt and shame and all of those other emotions that we don't want to inflict on them?
Right.
So it's so important to our parents to understand that close connection that they have with the children. Now, what if your ex really is troublesome? I was blessed because my ex got it early on, and he realized that the more we fought in front of my son, the more upset he was. And one day we were having a fight. This was after we had already separated and were in the process of moving apart, and we were fighting, and my son started crying, and my ex said to me, he wasn't my son at that time, said to me, "See, look what you're doing. You're destroying our family, and look at how our poor son is being affected by this." And my son said to his dad, he said, "Dad, I'm not crying because you're divorcing. I'm crying because you're fighting. Why don't you just stop fighting?"
Right.
And to his credit, he got it. And so we never fought in front of my son again, and we created the child-centered divorce that, of course, I advocate so strongly. But what if you have an ex who really is obstinate and hates you so much that all they're about is defying and creating aggravation and challenges for you? How do you keep yourself centered?
Grounded, sure. Of course, it's not an easy process. It's very hard. And again, one of the only reasons that makes it hard is the pride and ego factor. Now, it all stems, let's say, if you do have an ex-spouse that is making it very difficult, usually the basis of that is like what we talked about before, the loss of control. The loss of control and communication issues. Because obviously if you are divorced, most likely the communication was really poor during the marriage. So we can't be ignorant to think that the communication will get any better after you've divorced. It actually becomes worse. So when the first thing that you have to do as a level-headed parent is to take, and this is a big part of NLP too, and that is taking different perceptual positions. We usually see things out of our own eyes. We really focus on what's going on, what we see and what we perceive through our own eyes. And one of the biggest benefits of neuro-linguistic programming is learning how to take that perception and awareness into other areas, whether it's seeing things through your child's eyes or seeing things through your ex-spouse's eyes, because we tend not to do that. And usually an ex-spouse that is very difficult is definitely not doing that, and he's not going to do that. And as we mentioned before, we can't control them, but we can control the way that we see things. So once you've taken that different perception and are trying to see things through the other parent's eyes, you can have a better understanding as to the reason of why they're acting the way they are. Now, let me give an example. If you have a child that goes to their ex-spouse and the other parent is saying bad things about one of the parents, trying to communicate through the child, which is the biggest no-no and the most common mistake that's made during divorce, and they're constantly saying bad things or tell your mother, tell your father this and blah, 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 blah. So your child comes to you, and the child's already in a bad position because they don't want to relay information. They don't want to be put in the middle. So the control that you have at that moment is the way that you're going to react to this information. So the minute your child approaches you and comes with this information, which you know that information is going to be harmful and hurtful, that is the purpose of you getting that information, that is what the other spouse wants, you have the control right then and there on how you're going to react to this information. If you're going to react in a negative way and you're going to actually react and take this information in what the person said and taking it hurtfully and taking it to your ego and your pride, then the end result is obviously not going to be good. Your child is in the middle, and then what you're going to do is you're going to do the same thing and say, "Well, you tell that parent that so-and-so," and this is going back and forth. And what ends up happening is this child really is lost and doesn't know which side is true, doesn't know who to believe, doesn't know who to follow, and doesn't know who to use as a role model. So at that point, if you realize you have that control, then you're going to look at it a different way. And you can really enforce that that information is not nor valid nor important by the way that you react to your child. So if you do not react in a negative way and you say, oh, interesting, okay, well, I'll take that into consideration, and you don't send any messages back, and you switch it around and change the subject and start doing positive giving your child positive information, that harmful or hurtful information that was tended to affect you doesn't, your child sees this in a completely different way. So that the next time the spouse is giving this information, your child really does not find it interesting, does not find it important, and does not find it crucial to what's going on in their life. And they may decide not to pass the information to you, or they may decide they will, but they've seen it in a completely different light. So, you know, that
We tell people how to treat us, and we tell people where our buttons are. And
exactly.
By not showing our children that we're being affected by the ex pushing our buttons, we're empowering them in understanding they don't have to do that, and we're disarming them from the emotional drama that could be pursued, which happens all too often, unfortunately. And it's because of our reactions. So you made that point so well, and it's such an important point. Thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely. It's very, and that's very dear to my heart because, like I said, fortunately, I really did not experience that in my divorce, but a lot of my clients do. And it's very heart-wrenching to know that young children have to go through this. But as I mentioned, there are ways to deal with it. You can have the control. Like I said, you can gain the control. You cannot control what your ex-spouse says to your child in their territory. But you definitely can control whether that information is pertinent, important, effective, whether it stays in your child's head or not, and how your child perceives this information. So it actually is a lot easier than people think to be able to put a spin on it and really make this non-important and focus on what's important and what to teach your child when they're with you.
Yes, yes. And using other language but totally in line with your message, I often talk about the fact that we all get engrossed in our stories, and mm-hmm. we have our perspective is our story, and we tell it over and over again. And it's so important to keep from preaching to your children about your story, your take on the divorce, and mm-hmm. also making your ex's story equally important to the children and getting them caught up in that drama. And the parents right. will create a tug of war with children where they want to influence the child. They don't think they're doing it intentionally, and they may not even be meaning to do it, but they want little Johnny and little Susie not to like mom or dad because
right.
they don't. And they
right.
want to remind little Susie about all the things that mom or dad did to them and the validation. And mm-hmm. they don't understand that those children are internally so torn because they love both mom and dad on a deep, deep core level. And when one of them hears something disparaging about their mother or father, it affects them, and it affects their psyches, and it makes them question, maybe there's something wrong with me too, because I love mom and dad, and I'm hearing these terrible things about them, then there must be something crazy about me. Why do I still love them? It's very confusing for children. They don't have the capacity to unravel these
right.
deep emotional, psychological, the drama that we create. And so it takes a parent who can be dispassionate enough to understand that all we are in is our story
right.
and what we keep telling ourselves. So
mm-hmm.
if we watch what we keep telling ourselves, we have the ability to stand apart and take the power and control back and then clean the environment for our children, clean it and not fill them with all of this emotional the chaos that it's so easy to envelop them in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So because this is so important, are there any other suggestions that parents can use, tools, resources, suggestions you have to keep the parents clear and reframe things for the parents so that they can reframe things for their children and give them this other perspective, free the children from the entanglement of this.
Absolutely. Well, first off, you know, of course, there's different stages in the pre-divorce and while you're going through divorce and post-divorce. One of the first things, which is in reference to what you just said, even when you're telling the child about divorce or, you know, children see, first of all, we give children very little credit. You really don't need to give a reason as to why the divorce is happening, because whatever you say is of no benefit to the child whatsoever. The children know that you've been fighting, they've lived it, they've seen it, unless they were very young and they couldn't remember it, which even more so is reason not to talk about the fact that you were fighting all the time. Because obviously the minute you say that, it puts into the child's head the question of, was it because of me? What were they fighting about? Were they fighting because of me? Do I have something to do with this? So I'm a very avid believer that a child doesn't need to know the reason as to why. They simply need to understand that you were not happy together, period. Because what you want to focus on is happiness. And one of the key factors of switching things around in life, as hard as it is to accept or believe, it is very possible to turn a negative into a positive, no matter how bad the negative is, no matter how traumatic the negative is. There is always some kind of positive to it. If we are alive and if we've overcome it and if we're still standing, there already is a positive in that. So that is the first task that is going to be when you're going through divorce or coming out of divorce. And in order to do that and in order to take the positive out of the negative, the first thing you have to do is focus on the positive, obviously. And you want to take the situation, if you are divorced, if you're going through divorce, it's obviously because you could no longer handle, or the other spouse could no longer handle the way that the marriage was. So now, rather than looking at your divorce as the ending of an old life, you really want to focus that it is the beginning of a new life. Because beginnings are always they give you that little bit of hope that there's like a light at the end of the tunnel when it's the beginning of something. When you think of something as the end, you're already thinking of closure. You're thinking of, you know, something more on a negative term and that you're stuck. That's it. It's the end. You don't know where to go. Well, you have a new life ahead of you. And what you need to focus, and as ironic as this sounds, are the benefits of that divorce. And there are several benefits. And once you've spoken to someone who's been divorced for a few years, you know, I could think of a few right now on actually having time for yourself as a mother. You know, when you're in a situation when you're married, and really most mothers have very little time for themselves, so that the time that they have with their children are not necessarily quality time. And as a single parent, you're actually able to have quality time, more quality time with your child, because the time that they're with the other spouse is the time where you could be doing the laundry and the cleaning and organizing your things and doing everything so that when you do have your child back, now it's mommy and child time. So the fact that you are going to be going back into the dating scene and the fact that you need to really start focusing on yourself is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing, because those things that probably you would have neglected for years to come if you wouldn't be put in the situation that you are right now. So having given a few of those samples, I'm sure you get my the gist of where I'm going at. And once you're able to take that spin on it and really try to focus on the positive, it's amazing how things will trickle down and change, how your communication will change, how the way that your child sees you and sees a divorce will change. There's a lot of things. You're starting a new life now, and a big, big point that I always tell my parents is that you want to start doing new activities. You don't want to focus on the old. You want to focus on the new. You can start new traditions in your household. You can rearrange your furniture. There's so many different things that you can do at home to start your new life. You are giving yourself options by looking at it this way. When you look at it, like I said, as the end, you've just closed off your options. When you talk about the end of something, there's really no doors in front of you. When you talk about the beginning and new, you have various options ahead of you to take and to turn this around and to really provide a great life for you, have new opportunities, and provide a really good environment for your child, which is ultimately why you got divorced in the first place.
Absolutely.
So, Yeah, those are those details.
I love the examples you're giving and that philosophy. I was just thinking while you were talking that we didn't know each other 6 years ago when I wrote my book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? A Create a Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love. But the entire philosophy there is exactly what you were just talking about. The fact that the approach is about creating a new chapter in your life and moving ahead and seeing things in a very positive way. And when you take that tone, the children obviously start right from the beginning. So if you're fortunate enough to get this information from the beginning, it's much easier for both parents to be on the same page and understand that. If you made some mistakes and looking back in hindsight after listening to the interviews like this and you say, gee, I should have done this, I could have done this, I wish I had done that, it's never too late to stop.
Right.
And
right.
Make changes. It's never too late to apologize to your children and say, oops, you know, mom or dad made a mistake in saying or doing this, and we're going to do it differently from now on. It's a wonderful example to your children of showing them how we're all vulnerable as human beings. We all make mistakes, and that's part of life, and that's okay. And owning it and moving on is something that they will respect you for, and you will be showing them a wonderful behavior model for life. So you're actually being a wonderful role model. So don't have regrets. Don't say, oh, it's too late. I wish I could have done this. You 10 years later, you can still make changes and still apologize and take responsibility for things you did.
It's
key. To always keep that in mind. But if you are in the early stages and are starting in the divorce, then understanding what you just spoke about is so important, because in many, many cases, divorce is a new beginning, a new life for a family, because the tension is out of that life. Children have much more peace than living in a family where there's just fighting and tension all the time and stress.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, definitely.
You're totally right on.
Yeah, it's like you said, you know, most people get divorced because they don't want to live in that tension anymore. So you have this amazing opportunity to release all that tension. There's no need to continue it. And it's just defeating the purpose of getting divorced if you're going to maintain on that note. So, yes, you're absolutely right. And again, that's one of the things that drew me to you and to your writings and to everything that you're involved in, is that we do have that same train of thought. Of course, there's a lot of more issues that we can talk about on getting to that point, but it's a matter of having that desire, you know, a matter of separating the negativity from the positivity, a matter of separating your pride and ego to the way that you are behaving and acting. So it's not about the money. It's not, I mean, of course, the money affects us all. And a big part of many situations is because one spouse is not paying enough money or all of that, then you get into the, you know, fighting, and you get into the communicating back and forth and then sending the message to the child and you know, all of that kind of things is what needs to be separated to be able to achieve the positive aspect of it. And once you're able to separate that, which is a lot about what I do in neuro-linguistic programming, and once you're able to separate that and really focus on what's important to achieve the change that you want and really achieve the life that you want, because we all deserve it, and it's there. It's available. It's not that it's not available. It is completely available to us, and the way that we act, the way that we react, the way that our thought process works, that can all be influenced to be able to get that life we wanted, you know, and it's really not that far away. So, and I really want people that are out there that are listening, that are going through divorce or contemplating divorce, to understand that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is an amazing world out there, an amazing life that you could have and raise your children in such a wonderful environment. We all have that ability. It's just a matter of putting your mind to it and being open to learning new things to do it.
Absolutely. And I think you've put it very well. I wanted to make sure you covered, are there any other areas that we haven't been discussing that you want to bring up today that are important?
Well, I really think that that we've covered pretty much a big chunk of really how to have a child-centered divorce, and you know, just to go back to that, because this is what we're actually celebrating this month. Everybody really needs to understand that the meaning of a child-centered divorce is that every action you take is for the benefit of your child. There's a lot of other topics, unfortunately, I'm not going to get into right now, but dealing with, you know, court and lawyers and dealing with that whole aspect. And I am an advocate of collaborative divorce. I think that it's much more beneficial for the children and the parents. Money is money, but what comes down to it is your child's mental state, emotional state is the most important in any divorce. And when, like I said before, it takes just one parent to focus on it to see successful results. So to me, again, you know, a child-centered divorce is at least one of the parents focusing solely on the benefit of the child. And I think that's what everybody should really focus on. If both can, that is the ideal situation. It's a little bit hard, but if they both get...
Yes,
yeah.
none of it is easy, but you're doing this on behalf of your children, and it's a lifelong commitment because you're going to be their parents for the rest of your life. And so this, the effects of divorce are not only lasting a few months or a few years, but they last for decades ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, strongly endorse collaborative divorce or divorce mediation, and strongly advocate keeping out of the courts and keeping out of traditional litigation. And just to remind listeners that a collaborative divorce, there are attorneys that are regular divorce attorneys who have chosen a certain model called collaborative divorce, which focuses on keeping out of the courts and settling the differences. So you have the attorneys, two attorneys working on behalf of both of the sides of the couple, but their goal is to focus on creating this long-term co-parenting outcome. You want parents to understand that if you end your divorce in such a level of hatred, that it's going to be harder to be co-parenting and going through the day-to-day issues that are inevitable for any parent. When you have children, there's going to be challenges that come up with parenting. And you want to be able to talk to one another about health issues, about school issues, about bullying, or what sports and various other classes that your child is taking. What do you do about grades and homework and trips and all the inevitable things?
Sure.
The level of communication you have will make that so much easier or more difficult. And there are techniques. Communication techniques that work more effectively. There are ways of diffusing anger and calming a situation so that when you talk to your ex about a situation that may be charged, by using these techniques and understanding how to approach a subject and how to listen, because listening is one of the least used techniques and one of the most important skills one can develop, especially in a highly charged situation. When you make the other person feel like they're heard before you go ahead and come back with a different opinion, then you can create more harmony and peace and resolve. So even if you have an ex who is not cooperative and who is out to hurt you at first, if you come back with different ways of approaching your responses, then the tension can be diffused, and when that happens, they are more likely to be calmer and more hospitable in communicating back to you. So one person has the power to do that, and that's such an important part of your message, Liz. I think people need to hear that over and over because they so easily blame, well, I can't do it because my ex doesn't want to cooperate with me. This is what my ex does all the time, and so I am forced into being this way. And the reality is that we can change an entire communication level by learning skills and by understanding not giving up our power in a situation and understanding that we have to communicate in a respectful manner. And
right.
Luckily, those are skills that can be learned.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with everything that you're saying. Goes back to what we were talking before, that really we have the control as far as how we react to situations. And I agree with you. I think the collaborative way is the way to go. Now, granted, having said that, there are situations that, yes, unfortunately, they need to be taken care of, you know, through court. There's some people in this world that feel that they're above the law. And I would never put anybody down for trying to use the court system to protect their child or protect the situation. So, yes, there are exceptions to the rule, and there are situations that it's needed, which I deal with clients that are in that situation, too, and how to cope with that also. But do I think that collaborative divorce is the best way? Absolutely. Ultimately, you may lose financially. You may lose certain things that you didn't want to lose. You may have to negotiate on certain things that you didn't want to, but the ultimate end result is that you've saved yourself and your child a lot of grief, and you're able to actually start that new beginning that we're talking about as quickly as possible, because that's really the main part of it, you know, and when you're in court, it drags out for so long, and whether it's just and whether it's right for you to be asking what you want or for you to be fighting for what you want and all of those things, you're just hindering that ability to start your new life and your new beginning on a positive end. So the quicker you can come to an agreement, the quicker you can figure it out if it is releasing and it takes one, and again, really usually in a collaborative divorce, it takes one of the parents to think level-headedly and to sacrifice certain things that they didn't necessarily want to for the greater good of it. And again, that's by separating your pride and your ego, as going back to what I said before. So it's, you know, it's really a schedule of things that need to happen in your own mind to be able to even get to that point. So, you know, having said that, I think that we both think very much alike, Rosalind.
Yes, and we have skills to share with people who are needing that help, because I've found that most professionals, most therapists and mediators and educators are also in alignment with our thinking, and that's why it's so important to access a child-centered divorce professional rather than going out there to what we call the killer attorneys, who are just out there for their own gain and financial gain, and make your children pawns in the
right.
process.
Exactly.
The stories are devastating. We've all seen the headlines. The other alternative is not a healthy way to go.
Exactly.
There's no excuse. There's no validation. If you're a parent, you know,
exactly.
If you're not a parent and you don't have children at stake, then do whatever craziness you want to do. But
yeah.
When you have children, you have to be sober. You have to be mature and responsible in the
yeah,
decisions
absolutely.
That you make.
Absolutely.
So,
I think that dealing with any collaborative divorce attorney, anybody that focuses on that, really you know from the get-go that the child's best interest is at their heart. Another factor, you know, just like in my practice, I'm not a psychotherapist, I'm not a psychiatrist, and if clients come to me that are not in a situation that I cannot help them, the first thing I do is I refer out. And I would never try to take on something that I don't stand by or that I cannot handle or I'm not trained to do. And the same thing goes with attorneys. You know, if you're in a situation, I think that a collaborative law, you know, a collaborative attorney is, an attorney that does do collaborative divorces and follows it. If there's a situation that they think that you, you know, really need to fight on or whatever the situation is, they are going to either refer or they're going to handle it themselves. So it's really ultimately going to a person that from the get-go has that the child's interest at heart, and that's much better than going to an attorney that really is just going to try to get big bucks, like you said. So
absolutely, yes. And I have a list of resources on the childcenteredivorce.com website of what I call the good guy attorneys and mediators, therapists, and financial planners, coaches, all of those people who have the, have the expertise that we're talking about and the compassion and the commitment to the child-centered model. So absolutely, use that as a resource. And let's make sure people know how to find you. Liz Becker, give us information on how to contact you.
Absolutely. Well, my practice is in Aventura, Miami, but I do sessions on Skype and also over the phone, and they can find me at my website, which is lifeaftersplit.com. Again, I specialize. I do life transition coaching in all areas, but I do specialize in pre-post-divorce and parenting and single parenting. So they can find me again at lifeaftersplit.com. And would look forward to helping as many people as I can, both parents and children. And as a matter of fact, I was going to ask you, because I do recommend your book to all of my clients. So if there's any listeners that want to find out how they can get your book and access your writings, maybe you can let them know that too.
Absolutely. My website that has all of the resources as well as my free ebook, Post-Divorce Parenting, Success Strategies for Getting It Right, are available at childcenteredivorce.com. And on that website is my free, you can subscribe to my free weekly newsletter, get the free ebook, and articles, advice, resources, as well as my coaching programs. In addition to doing personal one-on-one coaching, I have two excellent coaching programs. One is an 8-hour audio coaching program with a workbook and bonuses that takes parents through every facet of getting started in a divorce regarding the parenting facet of it, what to look for in your children, the questions they'll be asking, how to answer them, danger signs, mistakes to avoid, everything you'd want to know. And I also have an extensive program that includes 6 weeks of one-on-one coaching as well as my book and several other components so that you are mastering child-centered divorce in every way. And it includes some wonderful expert interviews as well and bonuses. And if you just click on the coaching button at childcenteredivorce.com, you'll find that. And then my internationally acclaimed ebook that I've been selling for the last 6 years is How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? And you can find all the information about that and just dozens of testimonial endorsements at howdoitellthekids.com. That's howdoitellthekids.com. So you can get the book there. And what I've done in initiating International Child-Centered Divorce Month in January is put together a list of fabulous teleseminars, and I will be including this one with Liz as well in that list, with experts around the world who are providing wonderful advice. And that's free all through the month of January. If you go to the same website, childcenteredivorce.com, and you click on the first button on the left that says Child-Centered Divorce Month, then you'll get the listing of all those expert interviews, and I keep adding more and more every day. So we have a wealth of information to share with anyone who is interested in any facet of divorce and parenting, and we have resources to refer you to if you have legal questions, financial questions, and other kinds of questions related to divorce that are not connected directly to the parenting. So, Liz, before we end, give me your last words of wisdom, the takeaway that we want our listeners to have to keep in mind as a really valuable point.
Sure. Well, the last words of wisdom is going through divorce, make sure that before anything, before any reaction, you pause and you calm down and you do things in a calm way of thinking, that you set your pride and ego aside, that you don't do things and you don't react based on your emotional feeling, but based on what's logic and what's the best way that you can set an example for your child, and truly, truly try to take the positive out of the situation and focus on that, because really that is the best way to deal with divorce for yourself and your children. So that would be the most important tips.
They certainly are. This has been an outstanding interview. Your level of expertise is very impressive, and your clarity and focus and understanding of this topic, as well as all the tips and hints that you've provided. I hope people will listen to this more than once so that they can take notes and really grab hold of some of these salient points, because they really are the difference between a successful long-term outcome for a divorce versus a very traumatic experience where parents are just going through a nightmare and their children are being tossed into that same nightmare. And I wanted to end with one last question that I always have my clients ask themselves, and that is, what are my children going to say about how I handle the divorce when they're grown adults? Think about
Absolutely.
that, because that really gets you into another frame. I know it's hard when you have a 3-year-old or a 9-year-old or a 15-year-old to be thinking of the fact that they are going to be grown adults one day. But adult children of divorce turn around and get very angry at the way their parents handle the divorce and sever relationships sometimes with their parents. So you may be able to fool your children and pull the wool over their eyes when they're young and vulnerable, but they are going to grow up and ask you questions. So do it right. Take the high road. Consider their emotional and psychological well-being right from the beginning, and you will never regret it.
I concur. Excellent. Very well said,
Thank
Rosalind.
you, thank you, thank you, Liz Becker. This has been just a pleasure talking with you, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with you in many ways in the future. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful future for your families. And since this is the New Year's in January, I'm wishing you all a happy, healthy, prosperous, and fulfilling New Year for you and your entire family. Goodbye now
Thank
from
you.
Rosalind Sadak and Liz Becker.
Goodbye.